Hello, welcome to the Creative Shift podcast. I'm Helga Henry. Join me in this space for conversation with entrepreneurs, intellects, business leaders and policymakers. So this time, I'd like to talk about a thing I call purposeful creativity and the dangers of digital. Often people who are creative for a living, and that could be because you're a designer or work in advertising, but actually a lot of us are creative for a living. We have to think of solutions and do things. And nowadays, it's very easy to think that we can just pick up a document that we've had before, take the training plan, take the document, make a couple of tweaks, and well, hey, it's out the door and we're done. And digital has a number of drawbacks. Yes, of course, you can replicate the very process of making memes is really easy and quick. And my God, what would we do without it? But it can sometimes be a false friend. Take, for example, Candy Crush Saga. Now, I know, the world's biggest time suck. And who knew that lining up three brightly coloured candy-coated shells of sweets would be so addictive? Off the planet, kind of billions of pounds in revenue, where people not satisfied with the free version have to go begging for lives from other people on Facebook or making in-app purchases. The thing that King, the game makers, have really cottoned on to is every time you line up three sweets or more and they disappear or make some special candy, you as the player get a little hit of what's called dopamine. You get a little mental jolt of good feeling. And that dopamine hit becomes addictive. And in the same way, that dopamine hit you get from finishing something quickly, by repurposing something you've already written and getting it out the door, ticking the to-do list, it's a similar dopamine hit. And sometimes you pursue the hit rather than thinking about what the work might be that really needs to be done. Sometimes it short circuits your thinking, and in the case of Candy Crush, simply replaces your thinking. So that's the first danger of digital. The second, and I know everybody knows this, but let's just remember it again. In the recent general election, I read a tweet that said, "Are people using social media more likely to be left-wing than those who don't? Or is it just the people I follow?" Do you know what, love? It was just the people you followed. On Twitter, it becomes an echo chamber for people we tend to agree with. People whose opinion we like and value. It's rare that we invite dissent into things like our Twitter feed or our media habits or our reading. And it's very easy for that to become a self-referencing universe. So, I know people who thought Labour were heading for a landslide victory because of what they were reading on Twitter. And I know people, Tory voters, who thought exactly the same thing for exactly the same reason. In digital, you can be surrounded by information. But is that information always serving you, or is it simply reinforcing your prejudices, however well-meaning or well-intentioned? And finally, sometimes there's a time lag with digital that really doesn't help you. I was on the number 11 bus the other day. I know, I use public transport, keeps me real. I was on the number 11 bus the other day, and we'd gone down towards Selly Oak by Selly Oak Hospital. I'd noticed that there were three young Chinese girls sort of looking at their phones, and suddenly they rushed to the front of the bus and went, "Cadbury World, where's Cadbury World?" And the driver just went, "Well, it's about half a mile back down the road." And what they'd been doing is clearly they'd been using their phones and using the satellite on their phones when there'd been a significant delay. So the satellite told them they were at Cadbury World about half a mile after they'd gone past it. Funny thing was, if they'd just looked out the window, they would have seen an enormous Cadbury World sign. Sometimes the real world gives you more reliable information than the digital one. So there you have it. Three dangers of digital. Going for the dopamine hit, living in a digital bubble of self-reinforcing views, and trusting in the technology when the real world is telling you something else. They're all curable. Stop, take a look around, seek other opinions. You'll be really glad you did. So I'm delighted to welcome on the Creative Shift podcast interview, Katie Kershaw of Node Urban Design. Katie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Katie, just to kick off and to kind of warm ourselves into the conversation, tell us a little bit about your work at Node Urban Design, where I understand you're an urban designer and heritage consultant. What does that mean and what do you do?
That's right. Yeah, a lot of people don't really know what an urban designer does. But really, just bringing it back to basics, I'm involved with the design of the built environment, so the layout of buildings and landscape spaces. And I also work with historic buildings, developing strategies for them and working out how to conserve them so that we can protect them for the future.
So would I know some of the historic buildings you've worked on, say, in Birmingham or the West Midlands?
Well, actually, I'm also a trustee of Birmingham Conservation Trust, and one of the buildings that I'm most proud of is the Coffin Works, which is a fantastic new museum in the city centre. Mm. It's a really, really interesting building, actually. It's both now working as a museum and office space, but originally it built fittings for coffins, and actually was the place where they manufactured the coffin fittings for Winston Churchill's coffin together with Princess Diana's. So a really fascinating building and a very difficult project to deliver, but the Conservation Trust have done a fantastic job there.
Actually, I know the Coffin Works. I've been both before it. I went on a candlelight tour when it was at Christmas one time. That was my first encounter of it. And I'm a massive advocate of it now. If you've got a Saturday afternoon, if you've got some time to spend, do go and visit. But there aren't that many women in property, in the property world. I know that's changing. Has that been an issue for you? Have you found it isolating? Or is that not, you know, is that not no longer a conversation in the property world anymore?
No, I would say it very much is a conversation. It's funny, actually. At times I feel like we've moved forward, you know, and I'll go into meetings and there's a really good mix, you know, women represented across the professions. And at other times I'm still the only woman in the room, and actually I think it very much actually depends on the developer. I really think it's, if you go back to where the money is, that seems to dictate what environment is created. Yeah. And it's certainly something that, looking forward, is going to dictate the way that we drive our business.
Yeah. So at times when you're maybe feeling that little bit isolated, or you're like the different one in the room, yeah, what gives a shift to your confidence then? What boosts your confidence in those situations?
Well, I think it's taken time for me, but I realise that I've got a right to be there, and actually my professional opinion is what is required. So I'm in there to actually give my opinion, and I'm not afraid to do that anymore. You know, there were perhaps a few years at the start of my career when I did wonder, am I good enough? Do I know enough?
Yeah.
What really have I got to add to this debate?
Yeah.
But really, that is the benefit of a little bit of experience and some really positive mentoring from role models in my industry and, in fact, my manager.
I'm glad to hear you talk about the role of mentors in that, because it's something that Creative Shift talks about a lot, that real positive reinforcement. And I sometimes think that confidence is almost about relaxing into the fact that you know what you know and that you've got some expertise. What was the biggest shift that you experienced in your career, like, so far? And what caused it? Is it mentoring or is it something else?
The biggest shift that I've ever taken, actually, was leaving what was at the time a relatively secure job in a large consultancy to join a fledgling new business that had been set up by my boss, Nigel. We'd worked together for 5 years at our previous employer and developed a really good relationship with one another. And he decided that it was the right time to set up a business, and took the risk himself. Mm-hmm. And he'd always said to me, I want you to be part of this, but I need to establish it first. And actually, there was a no contact clause in our contract. But when the time came and he offered me the role, it was a big decision to take, actually, because at the time, 2011, it was very, very tough times for the property
yes.
industry. So yeah. in some ways, and in fact, many people thought I was a bit mad doing it,
yeah.
but I believed in what we could do and, importantly, what we could do differently, how we could set the tone
yeah.
for the sort of business that we wanted to create, the sort of projects we wanted to work on, the sort of people we wanted to do business with.
Yeah.
And I saw that actually it was an opportunity to have a much greater deal of autonomy
yeah.
And really be able to drive that, you know, be part of that. I knew he didn't want someone just to sit there and do the work. He wanted a partner, really.
Yeah. And a lot of small businesses I know, absolutely. There's a founder, there's someone who has the initial vision, but that next role, that next key appointment to who is also motivated by those vision and values. It's actually how I got to be at Fierce Earth, which is now Creative Shift. I worked behind Mark Ball and we were totally aligned on the sort of place we wanted to create. And I think there's a lot of talk about values, you know, sort of bandied about. It's a bit of a business buzzword. But that's what those values are about, aren't they? It's about what you think is important and therefore what you act on.
Absolutely. It's what drives you internally.
Yeah. And I think the more they're and the more they're aligned, the easier it is. So, sort of, and that's another confidence building thing. I think that you get your vision. You're clearly it's quite a vision led business by the sounds of it.
Yeah, very much so.
And that you were talking about setting the tone, setting the agenda, and that autonomy must give you some confidence as well.
No, it absolutely does. And I think that actually building that trust, it's something that takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. You've got to, you know, it takes years really of understanding what each other are capable of, what you can sort of leave up to another person.
Yeah.
But it's really worth investing in because you cannot replicate that.
What do you think I'll talk about some personal successes in a moment, but in business terms, what's the project that you're kind of proudest of to date?
Oh, well, if I may, I'll give you two.
Yeah.
One, purely for the scale of it, it's effectively a new town almost on the edge of Burton-on-Trent. 2,500 new houses, a large employment area and a local centre. So creating a really sustainable new community with bags of green space, loads of new planting. Quite revolutionary in many ways. And just the opportunity to work on something of that scale is quite uncommon.
Yeah.
And that is actually getting down to the detailed design level now, so we're getting to see how it might actually all be built out on the ground. The other project, although it happened very much at the start of my career, I still reflect on it very positively today, is a place called Slingfield Mill, which is in Kidderminster, which at the time when I first went round, it was a completely redundant former carpet mill. It was leaking, it was in a terrible state of repair. And we managed to convert it for what's now a Debenhams with a hotel above, and it's fantastic, really, really high spec design, fantastic. Turned what could have quite easily ended up a ruin into a really vibrant part of the town centre, and actually attracted a retailer that otherwise wouldn't have come to Kidderminster.
Yeah.
So multiple benefits. Yeah. So yeah, I still love it today.
I'm sure the people of Kidderminster go into a wedding, bless you, every day that they can get their outfit from Debenhams rather than going into town. and another shift in your career right recently is that you have recently received a very prestigious award in that you are the both category winner for property and the overall winner of BYPY, which stands for Birmingham's Young Professional of the Year. What shift has it already caused, or what shift do you imagine it might cause in the next year?
Well, I don't think I quite anticipated what a difference it was going to make. It really has been quite... it's only been 3 weeks, but it just feels... It's almost like a different world for me, really, now. Incredibly. I thought I was busy before. It's been an incredibly busy time. I've been fortunate enough to be invited to some fantastic things, including this. So the opportunity to meet lots of new, exciting people has been fantastic. But also, it's the... The big thing for me is there's an expectation, really, that the winner should achieve something with their year, and that's something I'm really looking to embrace fully.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly, I think being a born and bred Brummie was one of the reasons why they were so keen on giving me the award. So I'm hoping that with the positive year ahead for Birmingham, we'll be able to do a series of projects that might go some way to celebrating some of the successes in the city.
It's funny, earlier I was in a different recording, I was talking about this, the sort of the anti-Birmingham bias, all that sort of very tired journalism, you know, a joke on Have I Got News For You about, isn't it great, HS2 means you can get out of Birmingham easier. A thing I am now just classifying as casual racism about people from Birmingham. So is there anything specific that you've got in mind for the year ahead, or are you still in the sort of planning or formulation stage at this point?
It's still in the planning stage, but it, I suppose, coming from my professional background, it's going to involve the built environment. So it's going to involve getting people out there, getting people really engaged in their environment. Mm-hmm. It may also involve the historic environment. So, for example, St Philip's, the Cathedral Church of Birmingham, is 300 years old this year.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that that can certainly play a key role. But really, I just want it to be positive. We want to stop talking about the negativity, stop talking about the kind of bad press, and actually just think we can be the change that we want in Birmingham. All we need to do is to start embracing that wholeheartedly.
Brilliant. I think that's exactly right. My last question, I sometimes ask, which is very revealing. What do you wish you'd known maybe 5 years ago? What would you tell your 5 years younger self right now?
Well, I think the key thing is you don't have to be what you think other people expect you to be. You really don't. Yeah. The best thing you can ever be is the person that you are inside, because it is so much harder to pretend to be somebody else. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah.
And actually, people see that instantly and they connect with a person that's just being real.
Mm-hmm.
The other key point is you need to get more comfortable being uncomfortable. Because that's the only way that you actually grow as a person.
Yeah.
My best days are days when I go to bed and I think, oh, that was different. I tried something new. Doesn't matter really if it didn't turn out exactly the way I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
If I've tried something different, it's a good day.
Yeah, brilliant. Katie, they're all fantastic bits of advice. Something we've been talking a lot on Creative Shift. Just make a small change, see what happens, see if it shifts your perspective. So I really endorse that. I really wish you the most amazing year ahead. We're working at Creative Shift on the artistic strand of the 300th anniversary for Birmingham Cathedral, so we should definitely talk a bit more about that. That's all we have time for right now. But Katie, thanks so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to meet you.
Thank you for having me.
We'll finish this Creative Shift podcast with a little observation that I've made recently. I think a little bit depressed by some of the news around the financial crisis and bankers and all of that stuff. My husband really didn't want to listen too much to Radio 4, the Today programme, which has been the thing I've listened to every morning since I was about 18. So for nearly 30 years, I have woken up every morning to the Today programme and listened to the interviews, marked my morning routine by the thought for the day or the 24 minutes past sports report. You name it, I have measured my life out in Radio 4 Today programmes. And we stopped listening. And we started listening instead to Radio 3, the breakfast programme in particular. Now, it did take a bit of getting used to. All of the presenters are terribly posh and all called Torquil or Petrock or Clemency. And a lot of them dedicate songs to viola, you know, lovely girls in the southeast who are doing their viola practice today. But actually, when you get over that, it's really lovely to start your morning listening to classical music. I'm not a massive music fan I'm a music fan of all different types, but there isn't any one thing I'd say I particularly love. But starting my morning listening to different classical music every day and increasing my repertoire of what I now know and like, or even knowing that there's some pieces I've liked for years but now know who actually wrote that piece, has been really lovely. And so over the last 18 months, our mornings have taken on a different complexion because we've done something different. We often advocate taking your media from a different source, reading a different newspaper, listening to a different radio station, picking up a magazine that you don't normally get your information from, because that can cause a shift in your thinking. But certainly for me, listening to Radio 3 every morning has created a shift in my sense of well-being. So try something new. See if you can make a shift of your own and tell me how it goes.
That's all for this time. Thanks for listening to the Creative Shift podcast, recorded in the analogue delights of Highbury Studio. Big shout out to John and our engineer Rob. Tune in next time for more insight, comment, and of course, a rant or two. Bye.